Heavenly Father, what a great joy for this beautiful worship service as we are able to enjoy and experience Thy presence. And especially, Father, we thank Thee for having come, Lord, to bless the compliments on this day. Now, Father, as we meditate upon Thy word, speak to our hearts as we listen to Thy voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. First of all, I want to thank the Lord for enabling all of us to see our respected Pastor Chandran Light to come and join us in this worship service. Truly, the Lord has given him a second life as our respected brother David Sahayam shared. I too had a similar experience in the year 1977. Almost 8 months I was in the hospital, but the Lord appeared unto me the same way. The Lord has given a mandate to Reverend Chandran Light to run the second race. So let us continue to pray for him. And secondly, I must thank Mr. Deva Sahayam to invite me on this special occasion to speak to the confirmation three young people. And it's my privilege to come and share God's word in this beautiful church the second time. 2 years ago, I came and I was with you. And today, I thank God for the second time I'm able to come and join you, because I always enjoy your worship service, especially the beautiful choir. Their rendition was so beautiful. I thank God for them. Thirdly, I bring greetings to you from India, especially from the Diocese of Madras of the Church of South India, where I had been a minister for so many years. And fourthly, it's very important, I want to wish all the fathers, because it's the Father's Day, all the fathers, that you may be a blessed father, not only to your family, but to the church at large. But we all know we have a father. The father of all fathers is none but the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah, who is seated on the white throne. So we all should honor on this day as fathers, to wish our Father all honor and glory. Shall we give a clap to our Heavenly Father? Because He alone deserves all glory and honor. Now, today I want to share a very interesting topic from the portion that had been read to you from the epistle of Paul to Philippians chapter 3. If you have the Bible, just look into the word. And my title for this evening message is Purpose-Driven Life. Purpose-Driven Life. A few years ago, a confirmation class began. Nearly 33 young people enrolled themselves to be trained for the confirmation service. So on the very first day, I asked a question to these young people. Why do you come and join these confirmation classes? What is the purpose that motivated you to come and join the class? Everyone gave a different, you know, answer. One person said, I want to become a full member of the church. Another person said, then only I can stand in the election and become a committee member or a secretary or a treasurer. But one person said, one young girl said, I cannot get married in the church unless I am confirmed. And yet another person said, I long to come and partake in the Holy Communion. Because whenever I came to the communion table, the pastor never gave me anything, at least from now on. If I am confirmed, I am able to participate in the Holy Communion. So everyone went on. But finally, one young boy, he touched my heart. And he said, I want to know the purpose of my life. I want to know more about the Holy Spirit. I want to receive the Holy Spirit on the day of confirmation for which I have come. And it touched me. Of course, then I conducted the class, Why the Confirmation? My young people, three of you, what, Sanjana? Are you here? Or you want to have attend another service? In the church, you must have reverence before God. Because this very place is consecrated, dedicated for God's presence. When we enter into the church, we should always be reverent. Okay, cutting short. I love you. Okay, what is the purpose of our life? In the year 2006, Dr. Billy Graham had completed 60 years of his ministry. And he organized a 3-day meeting in New York in a big auditorium that would hold 20,000 people. And the media people always used to make fun. They wrote in all their magazines, this old man is wasting the money. Who would come to listen to this old man? Okay, the first day came. It was almost full. The second day, it was packed to capacity. Third day, 5,000 people could not enter, had to go back. And the following Monday, the media came running to Billy Graham and asked him a question. What was the purpose of your meeting? And how was it that you were able to draw more than 20,000 people to come and listen to you? And he said, I have only one purpose. One purpose. What's that purpose? Jesus said, when I am lifted up, I would draw all men unto me. So my only purpose to lift up the name of Jesus higher and higher and higher and higher so that the world may be drawn closer. Yes, that was the very purpose of the evangelist. Even today in the year, I think I heard that he's nearing 96. Still, this man had a longing to reveal the purpose of his life, to lift up the name of Christ. My precious friends, especially my three young people, you are confirmed. What is the purpose of your life? You know, Paul, writing this epistle to the church at Philippi, he expressed the desires of his heart. What was the desire? Now, he has written so many things, but if you would see your pew sheet, you know, Pastor has given that word, Philippians 3:14. What does it say on the front page? I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3:14. So what was the purpose of St. Paul? After 35 years of his ministry, he was imprisoned and his legs were tied up and he could not do anything. But at that time, he wrote a beautiful letter to the church, and in the church he expressed the purpose of his life. What is the purpose of the life? Pressing on towards the goal. I have set a goal. What is that goal? The goal that God has set for me to win the crown. Why we are coming to the church? Why we are following Christ? Unlike the way of the world, why do we live a righteous life? Only one purpose. Someday or other, when we close our eyes, we would end up in our eternal destiny, either with Christ in heaven, or I don't want the other place. We have to end up in a place that is our eternity. So Paul says, I am pressing on towards eternity. John Wesley was in the deathbed and he was sinking gradually. At that time, his close friend whispered in his ears, John, you had been speaking much about faith, faith, faith. You've talked all about the eternity. Now, do you know that you are dying? What is the purpose now? And what do you think of your eternity? He could not speak much. Read his books. He smiled. He said only one word. The purpose of my life is Jesus. Jesus. Even at the deathbed, he said three times, Jesus. Closed his eyes. The moment he closed his eyes, his face was beaming with a marvelous light. Why? He had a purpose. So, as the people of God, as the church, we have only one purpose. What is that purpose? Somehow, when we close our eyes on earth, we would inherit the great promise, the promise of eternity, for which we are pressing forward. Pressing forward. Sufferings come. Unemployment comes. Many a times our young people go astray from Christ. We are worried about our children because when they are not properly educated and not properly placed, parents, we cry. So many ordeals in life come and hinder, but still we cry unto God. We long someday to inherit the crown of righteousness. But Paul has given in this beautiful passage, Philippians chapter 3, Go and read verse from 7 to 14 for want of time. I'm not going to explain all, but I take three steps. What Paul says, how to press on. Now, if you read Philippians 3, verse 8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord. King James Version says, I want to know Jesus Christ. I want to know him. Tamilile, avarai arigira arivin menmai. I want to know him. Yes, my friend, that is the first step to know your Savior, to know your Creator. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Have we remembered him, young people? Have you remembered your Creator, your Savior, your Lord when you are young? Do you possess him? Do you know him? Because Paul never knew who Jesus was. That is why he was persecuting the Christians and the church. But on the way to Damascus, as he was advancing towards that city to destroy the newly born church and the Christians, he heard a voice. He heard a roaring voice from heaven. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saule, Saule, yen nee enai thunbapaduthugirai? He never knew who that voice, but he immediately responded, Lord, who art thou? Andavare, and came back the reply, I am Jesus, the one whom you persecute. Paul, you are not persecuting the church. You are not persecuting the new believers. You are persecuting me. Then, of course, you know the story, how Ananias came and laid his hands. The Lord filled him with the Holy Spirit. Fill him with the Holy Spirit. My precious church, if you want to know Jesus, you want to have the Spirit of God. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot know him as he is. Because the second lesson that was read to you from John chapter 16 reveals the importance of the Holy Spirit, who only brings to you the knowledge of Jesus. Only the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus Christ to you. Verse 13 says, only the Holy Spirit will lead you, guide you to know, to hear Jesus and to understand who he is. But immediately we say, Holy Spirit is not for us. That's for some sectarian group. Is it? It was the Holy Spirit that birthed the early church. Only the first early church was born when the Holy Spirit came upon all the 120 people longing to receive the promise of God, waiting for the Holy Spirit. And that was the day when the church was born. And from that day, you know, the church grew. So Paul never knew. But now, when he heard the voice, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, he had a great joy. What was the joy? Now he had only one purpose. He said, I want to know him more. I want to know him more. If you read John 17, verse 3, what is the blessing if you want to know him more? Because the Bible says, To know the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, is life eternal. Mark that Bible verse. Why should you know Jesus Christ? I come to the church, I pay the money, I throw the subscription, I take the communion. What more I need? No, you will never have eternity. You will never have eternal life, everlasting life. Only when you know Jesus Christ. Through the Holy Spirit you know Jesus. And through Jesus you come to the Heavenly Father. So that gives you the knowledge of Jesus. And Paul says, the excellency of knowing Him. To know Jesus Christ is the excellent way. The great scholar, the Pharisee, and one in the Sanhedrin was Nicodemus. He came to see Jesus by night. The moment he came close to Jesus, he addressed him, Rabbi. And Jesus replied, let it be there. Let thy greetings be there. I want to ask you a question. Are you reborn? Unless you are born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. My church, I always insist the rebirth of every person. Not as a member of the church, not as the communicant member alone. That's all required. But the basic thing is to know Christ, you must be born again. What does it mean? Jesus said, unless you are born of the water and of the Spirit, you must have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. How does it come? When you call upon Him, John 1:12 says, he that believes in the name of Christ is reborn and becomes the son and daughter of God. So Nicodemus was shocked. He knew all about the Vedas, the book of the laws, all the prophets, the Psalms, everything. He was thorough, but he never knew Jesus. So Jesus said, you must know Him. To know the truth, now you may ask me a question, how to know Him? I'll just give you one example, then you will understand. If you read John 5:39, the people came to ask Jesus, how can we know God? We want to know God. And Jesus said, search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. Now I ask you young people, of course everybody, how many of you this morning opened your book? You may chide Mr. Devasagayam for inviting me. Why did you bring this man to chide us? I warn you, the coming of the Lord is very near. Are you assured of your salvation? Are you assured of your eternity? Are you sure that Christ is in you? And search the scriptures, because they tell all about me. They will reveal myself to you. And you know the story of Paul Yonki Cho. When he was sick, a young friend gave him a New Testament with Proverbs. He threw it first. Later, out of curiosity, he started reading it. As he was reading it, you know the story. The Lord touched him. The Lord healed him. The Lord filled him with the peace of God. Then he realized, oh, this book speaks about the eternal God. Then he came to know Christ. He had a vision. Now he has built the biggest church in the world. Why? He came to know. What is the purpose of your life, my young friend? Number one, to know Him. Number two, if you read the same verse 8 again, I count everything as loss For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Tamil romba alaga irukku. Eppadi aagilum Kristuvai aadhayapaduthi kollumbadikku naan ellavattiyum nashtamum kuppayumaga ennugiren. Now I ask you another question. What is your priority in life? What is your priority? Is your priority is to gain Jesus Christ or gain the world? If you read Matthew chapter 16 verse 24 to 26, a large gathering surrounded Jesus after he performed mighty signs and wonders. And then he said, Jesus said, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, number one. Let him take up the cross, number two. Let him follow me daily, number three. These are the three requirements, my friend. Because a rich man came, a young rich ruler came. What can I do to inherit the eternal life? And Jesus said, young man, go, sell your possessions. Give them to the poor. Then come and follow me. Could he follow? Bible says he went away with a sad, long face because his priority was on the riches. I don't say riches are cursed. No. God provides riches. God provides blessings after blessings. Whatever you need in this world, God is prepared to give you. But what is your priority? Is your priority is to work all the 24 hours? Overtime? Even some people ignore that worship service, ignore the prayer time, all looking into the television, always looking into the computers or the mobile. You have no time. What is your priority? Is your priority is the Bible or your mobile? Christ is coming. Will it take your mobile into heaven? What is your priority? Jesus said, follow me. When God called Abraham, he was prepared to lose everything. Abraham, lose, number one, your country. Why? The country was infested with idols. Number two, you leave your kindred. The whole kindred worship. Okay. Then nature's God. Thirdly, he said, leave your family even, because your family will not believe me. Come away. And Jesus gave him, number one, a promised land. Jesus gave him kindreds after kindreds after kindreds. He created a family for him through Sarah. He can do it. But what is your priority? Lot chose Sodom. Abraham said, you choose any place, man. You choose. You are my brother's son, but still I give you the preference. You choose. He looked towards Sodom. It looked like Eden. So he said, let me go and possess this worldly property. But Abraham looked up to God. God said, Abraham, march on. I'll give you another land. He looked towards God, sacrificing all the properties of the world. Another example I give you. Jesus appeared to Simon and John. And all through the night, they caught nothing. But after they gave their boats for Jesus to speak to the people, then Jesus said, now come on, man, let us go fishing. Now Jesus, along with Simon, went for fishing in the mid afternoon, quite contrary, but great catch. Two boats were full of fish. Rest of their lives, they can sit and eat and enjoy. Now the miracle was there, two boats of fish. Jesus was about to go. Read Luke 5:11. Bible says, they left the fish, they left the boat, they left their wives, they followed Jesus. What is your priority? Another story, a true story. A few years ago, 200 young girls were abducted from a hostel in African countries, and the terrorists converted them into Islamic faith, and some of them refused, and they were given in marriage to some Muslims. But one young girl by name Monica, she refused. Jesus Christ is real. She said, Jesus is my motto. Jesus is my priority. For Jesus, I can do anything. They threatened her. They put her in a hole. And they buried her up to her neck. Then said, now say, Jesus is no God. And she shouted, Jesus lives. And her throat was cut. The message went to his parents. The father was an independent pastor. You know what he said? John the Baptist was beheaded for the sake of Christ. My daughter was beheaded for the sake of Christ. I know I would go and meet my daughter Monica in heaven. Priority. Let me close. The third step to win the prize. Verse 9 I read for you. Shortly I close. And I want to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on my faith. Thirdly, he says, I want to be seen in Christ. I want to be found in him. Tamil, avarkul irukkiren endu naan kaanappadum padiyaga ellavathaiyum kuppaiyaga vidugiren. I throw everything out so that the people of the world may see Christ in me and I in Christ. Galatians 2:20, Paul writes, I was crucified with Christ, yet I live. The life that I live by faith in Christ Jesus. I live in Christ and he lives in me. No more can the world see me. The world must see Christ in me. What is our calling? What is our calling? 1 John 4:17 says, as Jesus Christ is in heaven, so are you in the world. My friend, you are another Jesus. My dear young girl, you are another Jesus. Will the world see Jesus in you? Otherwise, your Christian life is a waste. Unless people see Christ in me and my behavior and my life, I'm no worth to be a preacher. Because Paul says, I want to be found in Christ at all time. For that only I suffer. But how to be like Christ? That's the problem. If you want to win the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to suffer also with him. You have to suffer with him. Without suffering, there is no gain. Only suffering makes you transformed to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. If you read James chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, what does suffering do? With that, I want to close. I have a long message, but I want to close here. How to suffer? Suffering for the sake of righteousness. The world is full of unrighteousness. Any side you turn, you see the world is corrupted. But Are we going to be part of that corruption? Look at the life of Noah. The whole world was corrupt. God said, I'm going to destroy humanity. But Genesis 6:8 says, but Noah found grace. But Noah. You must be that but. You are different. You have to suffer for 100 years. Noah suffered. Building an ark on one side, going and preaching on the other side, being mocked at by the people, ridiculed by the family or the world. He doesn't care. Take the life of Paul. Anywhere he went, into any city, started the preaching, initially there would be great clamor. But what is the end of that mission? He would be thrown out. Otherwise he would be stoned to death. But Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 sufferings from his life, he wrote there, I suffered. But he says, through the suffering, I bear the marks of Jesus, my God. I bear the marks of Jesus in my body. Whatever was lacking in the body of Christ, I bear it for the sake of the gospel. I want to be found in Christ. Suffering makes you perfect. With that, I want to. Suffering makes you perfect. I read only a story. It's only a story. A diamond fell into the hands of a sculptor. The sculptor went on chiseling and went on chiseling to make it brighter and brighter and brighter. And at one point of time, the diamond spoke. It's only a story for children. How can diamond speak? The diamond said, it's paining. But the sculptor said, wait, you are not perfect. He went on chiseling, oh, it is paining. Little more time. You know why? You are going to be placed on the crown of the Queen of England when she is going to be coronated. Okay, the day came. When all the people came to wish the queen, everybody looked up at the crown. The pearl, the diamond was shining. Everybody looked at it and were smiling. And the diamond also was smiling. And at last, an old man came. When that old man came on the dais to greet the queen, the diamond started weeping. It was weeping, and the man came nearer and nearer. It cried. And at that time, the man looked up. Hey, why do you cry at this moment? Are you not happy to be in the top? No, I want to say thank you, sculptor. I want to thank you. You chiseled me. You made me perfect. Today I am up above the crown. Yes, someday you shall be in a crown. Or you shall be a diamond in the crown of your Lord Jesus. The more you live for Christ, the more you suffer for Christ. Go and read Romans 8:17. Underline that verse. If you suffer with Christ, you will also win the crown of righteousness. But would you say, I want to press on? Press forward. Don't look back. Whatever was lost, lost. Whatever you have suffered. But today make a decision. I want to press on. Somehow I want to press on towards the goal of my calling, calling to receive the crown of righteousness from the hands of my master, the one who died for me. Are you born? Are you born again? Are you found in Christ? It's up to you. Let's pray. Bow down your heads for a minute in prayer. I just want to make a small appeal. If you are sure of your salvation, if you say that Christ is in me, I want to thank God for you. May the Lord be praised. But if you are not sure of your salvation, tomorrow when Jesus would come, where will you be? Where will you be? Where will you end? It's all in your hands today. I don't know why I came here. The Lord brought me. But just to give you an invitation. Tell the Lord, I want you, Lord. I want to be born again. I want to be found in Christ. I want to live for Christ. Will you say that? If you want to make that commitment, today the heaven will rejoice. And the Lord Jesus Christ will enter, step into your life, and will bless you. Will you say, Lord, come into my life. I want you. I want you, Lord. I want to be blessed by you. Thank you, Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is here right now in the palm of the Holy Spirit, pleading with you, my son, my daughter, give me a place in your heart. Give me a place in your life that I may bless you. I will lift you up to great heights. Will you say yes to Jesus? If you want to say yes to Jesus, I want to pray for you. If you want to say, Jesus, come in, I want you to bless me. Will you please put up your right hand? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else who wants to put up to make a decision now? This is your time, not my time. This is your time, the Lord Jesus Christ. Give the heart. Yes, thank you very much. So many hands I say. Will you please raise your hands right towards Jesus Christ, not towards me. Yes, I'm going to pray for you. The angels are here to record your names. Oh, yes, to give you an assurance that you shall be with Christ in heaven. Oh, in the days when Christ would come. Will you please put up your right hand towards the Lord. Thank you, Master. Father, I thank you for all the hands that are raised towards you, O God. They have not raised their hands towards me. They have raised their hands towards you, Lord. Give them the assurance of salvation today, that they may live in Christ. They may be found in Christ, O God. That they may be a blessing, Lord, in this world, in this church. Father, bless them, Master. Bless their family life. Bless their future, O God. Whatever they need, supply them. Supply them. Supply them their needs, O God. And embrace them and assure them of your salvation, because you have suffered for them. Thank you, Lord. I commit and commend the entire church. Bless every individual, every member of the church. Continue to lead them and bless them for thy glory. Until thou comest back again, Father, keep us under the wings of the Almighty and lead us through. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said, say amen. The Lord bless you.